Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you who have not ever listened to TechNori, shame on you. TechNori is an awesome show, I think. But then again, I'm the host of it, so that's probably a little biased. What is TechNori? Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured, and to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. Civis Analytics is a company that I think, if you don't know already and you're a business owner, you probably need to start knowing. Why don't you give people a little bit of a background on what Civis is? I was going to introduce it, but I think you'll do a better job.
Sure. Civis Analytics is a data science advisory and technology company. Broadly, we help companies solve their hardest problems with data science and provide them the technologies that empower them to do it themselves in-house. We're around 4 years old. Before this, I worked for many years in politics. I served as the chief analytics officer for the 2012 Obama operation and then had a long career before that. And started the company with a lot of my colleagues. Since that, partnered with Eric Schmidt from Google to get initial financing for the company. Since then, we've grown to around 135 data scientists and engineers working at companies at this point all around the world.
So is the model then, so you guys don't have everyone just in one office working on it. You've got them, are they at other companies? Or are they, is the actual process?
Yeah, the process is we have about 120 people here in Chicago, and we have about 15 people in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
The staff in Chicago are primarily focused on our commercial sector, which is work with media and marketing departments, healthcare companies. We work with an increasing number of B2C technology companies, Airbnb being an example client. And then our Washington office handles most of our public sector work, so with both the federal government, state and local government, and then in addition to some of the remaining political work that we do out on the East Coast.
And I imagine you had some decent contacts to continue the public sector stuff.
Yeah. The public sector stuff is fairly new for us, but generally how that works, so a couple clients that we have, our largest client being the United States Census. So we were selected along with the kind of prime contractor YNR to serve as essentially the kind of analytics consultant of record for the 2020 United States Census. And that is, that is an effort that in some ways kind of mirrors a political campaign, which is over a long period of time, they need to make sure that they're enrolling every single American in the census. Analytically, that's a very difficult effort.
I was just going to say, that's got to be nearly impossible, or at least an impossible task until more recently.
Yeah, we're constitutionally bound to do it. And they've been doing it since the 1700s. But the kind of difference now is that we have, for the first time, online enrollment in the census, which is the first kind of big benefit. And now we have a lot of these different kind of methodologies and data points that we can use to help improve the efficiency of the census. So from a perspective of the public sector, obviously there's tons of data, there's lots of citizen engagement going on, and governments, both at the federal level, state and local, are looking to improve the efficiency of the delivery of those services. And we're helping provide some of the measurement, the analytics, and the technology capabilities that these public sector organizations can use to become more efficient in citizen delivery.
So I look at this and I think of last few years, you heard a lot about big data, and everything was about sort of how
sure.
do we acquire big data. It's probably a word that makes you cringe at this point when you hear that term.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I look, when we have a lot of guests on here, and most of which, as you know, with TechNori, are almost all tech companies and things.
Right.
We have spent a lot of time talking about the application of data.
Yeah.
And more so, I think it's pretty obvious how we're collecting a good portion.
Yeah.
And especially in the consumer place, because they're literally freely signing up for Facebook and putting all of their personal information right there. How do you see businesses, both generally and in more specific, specific areas, applying the data that they're getting? Is there certain pieces or points of data that you look for that companies should be looking for to collect and apply, or is it using it to build a grand profile and then that? How all does it work?
Yeah, so I think you're right in your assessment of the problem, which is, 5, 6, 7 years ago, the data problem was one of storage, where I have a bunch of different points of collection. I have my website, I have my customer management database, I have my HR database. And the question is how do I get that into a place where it becomes usable within my CRM or for kind of driving billing claims, et cetera? And that was the kind of the purpose of collecting all that information, was to drive some type of business process. And over the past few years, most of these companies have realized that they have a surplus of digital data sitting either in their basement or in AWS that they could use to better facilitate strategic and tactical decision-making. For example, a large company wants to decide how they want to spend their marketing dollars across the company, and they have a $500 million budget, and they want to decide really some simple things, which is, who are the people that I want to advertise to? What do I think is the most effective content? And how do I break down the spending of the content across all my different options or all the different kind of spending mediums that I have? And most companies have, they kind of have this asset, this data asset sitting there, but they struggle in terms of how they can connect that asset to the actual decision that they're trying to make, which is, you know, who do I care about? What do I say? And then where do I actually distribute my budgetary resources based on the known information that I have about my customers and my non-customers? And so the process that we help people go through is essentially to manage that cycle from information to data to truth to action, and help you essentially manage that entire process. And so what we do is, you know, and continue with this one example, is help them identify who we think their kind of prospective targets would be for their advertising campaign, defining what their messages might be by running, for example, big kind of randomized control experiments that help them say, this is what actually works versus this doesn't work, and then providing them some kind of tools that they can use to break down that spending across their different options. So really, the kind of struggle, I think that you put it as right, is people have these kind of big repositories of information. They don't know how to connect that literally to decision-making, and we provide the kind of instructions and then some of the tools that help them do it.
Well, we're definitely hoping that when you're done with your analytics process with them, that they conclude that they want to reach the millennial audience and that they're going to do so in Chicago via Technori.
Right.
I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding, but that's the extreme hope.
Yeah.
We talk to, you know, I guess our sponsors are a good example. They're always asking, what are the different metrics and things that we can use? And, you know, I feel like, and this, I guess, is, I don't even know if this is a question. This might just be like a broad statement and you can tell me I'm wrong and beat me up or whatever. I feel like with the, particularly in our media space with advertising, that there's this sort of unknown. We don't know what the clicks mean. We don't know who the people clicking are. We don't.
Right.
And you can actually find out and track it, but people just, you know, don't. Or the advertisers and managers don't ever ask, like, where specifically is it coming from? How do you see analytics and data in the media world sort of shaping things? Like, I guess this is a really poor question, but on the back end, do you think people are getting more sophisticated with this, or is it just look at this as like the black hole and they can't figure it out?
Yeah, I mean, the core question that anybody has to ask is, on what are they optimizing? An example that we think about is, what is the metric that you're using to optimize the placement of resources that you have? That's the kind of key question that people have to understand. And people, you know, it's called a KPI, a metric, whatever, in different places. And then once you decide on that, how are you kind of basing the distribution of your resources? So, for example, you know, where people go wrong in digital, for example, is if you say, I'm just going to use clicks. So take Ferrari, for example. Ferrari says, I want to build a set of ads that are going to be the most effective ever. And they put them on the internet. Well, who clicks on their ads? The people who really click on Ferrari ads who are really excited are probably 12-year-old boys, right? Are 12-year-old boys going to buy a Ferrari? You know, probably not, right? Maybe in 20, 30, 40 years. And so if Ferrari says, what we're going to optimize our media placement is clicks, then they're essentially going to get an audience of really excited 12-year-old boys.
Yeah.
I remember being 12 and like I clicked on space shuttles and Ferraris all day. So the question is like, you know, what else are they optimizing on? Because clicks, that type of kind of like bare digital engagement, is not just going to give them an answer that's off. It's going to give them an answer that's completely misleading.
Yeah.
If they go around that, they're going to be placing their ads on Scholastic magazine or something like that. So then the question is,
does that still exist?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just
showing, highlights.
I'm just showing my age. Yeah,
yeah.
Highlights or something like that. So the question for Ferrari is like, where do I place my ads that I think is going to reach my prospective buyer? And so in that case, running kind of like large scale digital tests like that, it doesn't really work. So they have to do a separate where they say, what is kind of my narrow universe of prospective buyers, which are probably kind of high net worth individuals? How do I try my ads against those people and then see whether or not I improve the actual KPI, which I care about, which is purchasing engagement or engagement with the brand writ large. In that kind of context, what we would say to a company like Ferrari is you can kind of test your ads like crazy over the internet, but it's probably going to give you the wrong answer. What you should try are little experiments. And we say this to companies all the time, is sometimes the big kind of population level dumping of advertisements on the internet would give you the wrong answer because you're engaging on the people who kind of like you but aren't really your prospective buyer set. So how can you do these little experiments either in online panels or with your email list or other types of kind of prospective tests that you can say, how do I narrow to a set of people that I think are in market for my product, engage directly with that prospective buyer set, see who improves their engagement with your brand, and then kind of move those people path towards purchase.
So I can see why these companies are outsourcing this to a person like yourself, because I would get lost. Like, and I actually do pay, like, it doesn't look like I pay attention, but I actually do pay attention to a lot of these things. And, you know, I obviously don't have the sophistication in this that you do, and I certainly don't have the staff and all the tools and things that we should have for sure. But we do, you know, a lot of simulation stuff. I do a lot of, like, if I send an email out, so as you probably know, or maybe I pinged you this morning with it, I don't even know, with the Technori event that comes up, we'll know, like, all right, so who listens to Technori,
right,
who watches it,
right,
who goes to the event,
right,
and then who does it again,
yeah,
and how many people grow from which list to which list.
Exactly.
And so what we'll do is, like, lots of A-B email, I'll send one to, like, now that I know you bought a ticket, so you're on the list, I now send that out to 300 or 400 people and find out, like, hey, did you actually like the show that Sean put on yesterday called The Feed? And if they listen to that and they're like, yeah, we did,
yeah,
then I kind of know, like, you are a very different person in marketing style than, say, zero or one out of 20 emails to you has been opened.
Exactly.
Totally different style. And we can simulate it, obviously, on a much smaller level.
Yeah.
But these businesses that we talk to, and a lot of them sit in the same chair you're sitting in right now, these guys are very successful. They're very smart people. They still don't quite understand what to do with it and what it means, and, like, how, I guess, particularly with the large organizations, which I'm sure you deal with all the time, they can't move flexible or quick enough,
right,
that sometimes they feel like, if, like, little pieces of information are worthless to them. And I just don't think that's...
Yeah, that's right. So you imagine the case in your case, which is you say, look, I want to optimize the number of people that care about technology that are listening to Technori. And the way that I want to figure out that out is I want to run a bunch of little tests to figure out who is responsive and then who eventually engages with Technori, yes or no.
Yep.
Everybody wants to do that same thing. The problem with a larger company is you're doing, let's say, 2, 3, 4 tests, right? And that's a manageable thing for a human being to oversee.
Yep.
The problem is let's say you're a major company like General Motors or Ford, and you have 10 different brands. Those brands all operate in different kind of operating units. Sometimes there's crossover between people who want a Lincoln and then people want a kind of Ford Fusion or Escape or something like that. So you already have that kind of confusion. So the problem that all these companies have is they understand the principle, which is I have to try things in market, see who's responsive, and then re-optimize around what's right. They all get that principle. The problem is how do you scale that? How do you scale that technologically, which is I have a set of concurrent tests that I'm running. Which of those are right? Which of those are wrong? Which are even kind of going at the same time? And then finally, and more importantly, how do I operationalize those conclusions into actual business process, which is I have these 10 experiments going. How do I next week say these 2 showed something interesting, these 5 showed something useless, and these 3 showed something that says that what I'm doing right now is dumb? How can I actually
go used to that one?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. And so I think where when people say the application of data, what people are really thinking is how do I operationalize the conclusions of my experiments into actual business process, which people on the ground are saying, okay, now the Lincoln campaign, we try these 2 different things. This doesn't do anything. This is effective. Now I'm actually changing the spending of money. That is really where most businesses are struggling right now.
Yeah.
The components of how you make that work is there's a few things that you need to make that work. You need personnel, so people that are kind of digitally capable in terms of translating the insights from tests into, you know, actual business outcomes. Second is technology tools that help you essentially look at the tests that you're doing on a recurring basis in order to figure out what's right. And then that essentially that process orientation to make sure that you can really take those insights and turn them into what people are doing on a day-to-day basis. And in absent technology, those types of processes are really, really hard to scale. So in terms of what we do, and I think this is kind of a growing revolution for a lot of businesses, is the underlying tooling that provides you not just the insights, but the type of operationalization of those insights as sometimes lists or as budgetary guidance that you can give to the people who are spending the money so that you can say, the facts say this, this is how we're going to spend the money. The people who are spending money over here, this is the guidance that I provide those people. So essentially process supporting data science.
Very important. I think it is incredibly vital to the success of future businesses, particularly those that are, I mean, honestly, really in the small business area as well, because they need to use every tool they possibly can to fight off bigger businesses.
Yeah, they do. And it's becoming, you know, unfortunately, the economies of scale around analytics are not, do not favor small businesses in some way.
No, yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree. This has been awesome. We didn't even get to talk about some of the things that I wanted to talk about, but I would love to have you come back sometime and just keep us informed with this, because this is...
Hopefully that wasn't too heady and nerdy. But.
No, it wasn't heady and nerdy enough. No, it was. This stuff is really fascinating, and I honestly think this is one of those things that... This is like math for young... Like, well, it is math, but like...
Right.
When I was a kid, math, you look at it, and it's something you're afraid of. You don't know it. It looks too complex. It looks like this is going to be a real long day.
Sure.
And you get afraid of it, and as a business owner, it's easy to do. But I think the only way to really be able to learn and start digesting this is to just hear it and to understand that you, in a matter of 12, 13 minutes, broke down something that really is, you know, obviously you didn't give them the whole key, but you broke down something that's really complex, kind of, sort of. And it's important that people understand that, one, how valuable it is, but two, that there are solutions out there like Civis Analytics to take care of this for you and that you know, you can work with. Very cool.
Right.
Dan,
thank you
so much. I want to plug, before we head out of the show today, I want to plug January 31st, we've got the Technori event is going to be back at Chase Auditorium. Woo. That's 6 to 8:30 p.m. This is going to be a loaded event. We have four of the five companies that are going to be on stage are going to actually be currently running active equity crowdfunding campaigns on the republic.co platform. One of the companies, well, two of the companies are coming from Los Angeles. One is veteran owned, which is really cool. The other one, Aristotle, which you guys know well, we've had Ware Ellison, and they actually have already met their goal and they're doing very well. The other one I'm really excited to announce is ParachuteKids.com. Desiree Vargas Wrigley, who is the founder of previously she worked at Give Forward, which got sold. She was on our stage launching that. She was on our stage as a keynote, and Desiree will be back on stage now again. To launch Parachute Kids, which is pretty cool.
Sweet.
So also, I think everyone should want to check that out. But then last, but certainly not least, our keynote, you will have to check the email to get all the name and details, but she is the founder of Women 2.0, and I cannot be more excited. She'll be coming in from San Francisco. It's going to be a very, very great showcase, as Donald Trump would say, very, very tremendous showcase.
Very.
It's very, 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 very impressive.
Huge.
I have small hands. Anyway, everyone got him. Steve just caught people off guard there.
At the very end, snuck it
so
in.
Please do check it out. Go to technori.com and find the ticket slot there. And tell us, please, what you think of the new events portal. I think it's great. You can stream this episode and more at technori.com. You can stay up to date with our Technori news feed and stories and other tech bites by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.